Hey, everybody, this is Maggie. You know, Barack Obama wants to redistribute the wealth. Well, I disagree. I think you need to earn what you get in life. So join me, because I'm going to be redistributing the truth, one word at a time, on the Unsolicited Opinion, here on KHNC 1360.
You debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie, and welcome to the Unsolicited Opinion. How you doing today? You know, I'm telling you, lots of good stuff going on. Now, if you're bored on Saturday, there's something real interesting happening on Saturday, and I bet a lot of you have not heard about it yet, but I expect that you probably will one way or another. Now, on Saturday, the Black Panthers and some other groups, well, they're going to have a National Day of Action. And what they plan to do, this promises to be a big day as blacks nationally and worldwide take to the streets to join the international tide and struggle of revolution and change that is sweeping the planet. So now, this is being organized by Black Panther leader Shabazz, Zulu Malik Shabazz, I think his name is. It's going to be in a lot of cities all around the country, so this should prove to be interesting. Now, some of the groups, and I find this rather interesting as well, and I think it's rather telling too, quite frankly, some of these groups that are involved in supporting this, by students and youth membership of the Black Church, the New Black Panthers, the Nation of Islam, the National Black United Front, the National Action Network, Rainbow Push Coalition, well, there you go, that's the race hustler Jesse Jackson, then we've got the NAACP jumping in. Then we've got Blacks in Government, Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, the Harvard Black Law Students Association, the Alliance of Black School Educators, the National Association of Black Journalists, the Organization of Black Airline Pilots, the National Coalition for Blacks for Reparations in America, and there's a few others that are in there as well, but that should be rather interesting. And it's interesting, like, for example, the Black Law Students of Harvard, well, you know, it's obvious to me they must have been terribly discriminated against to make it all the way into the so-called Ivy League institution known as Harvard, don't you? Isn't that something? Don't you think they must have been terribly discriminated against to get that far in life? I don't know how it happened, really, think about it. I mean, you know, God, you make it to Harvard and you've been so discriminated against? It's an amazing thing. Must have been just a fluke, I guess, huh? So now, this is some of the stuff that they say, let's see, our people proclaim that there are serious problems that exist within our communities and nations that, if left unaddressed, will continue to plague black people all over the world. The National Day of Action and Unity will bring attention to the plight of so many who are uneducated, exploited, behind prison walls, disunited, I'm not exactly sure what disunited is supposed to mean, in poor health, homeless, victims of police brutality, pimped by crooked politicians. Well, that's an interesting one, too, because I think the crooked politicians are pimping everybody. I don't think they just isolate the blacks and pimp them specifically. I think our crooked politicians in this country are doing a grand job of pimping all of the American people. I don't think they're showing any favoritism in one way or another, because I think they're screwing everybody, quite frankly. Let's see. They are bringing attention to the plight of those who are tortured, falsely accused, underdeveloped. I don't know what that's supposed to mean either. Morally perverse, apathetic, addicts, victims of harsh budget cuts and genocide. Let's see. Special attention will be given to victims of neocolonialism, corrupt governments, imperialism, Zionism, capitalism, and inadequate concern for the diaspora of Africa. Let's see. Isn't this interesting? To the authorities, don't worry about who is organizing it. This is organized by the people and for the people. This is organized by a new younger leadership, unapproved by our former slave or colonial master. We are grassroots activists, youth, residents. Union members. Oh, there you go. The unions are in on this too, huh? I wonder if it's only the black members of the unions that are going to participate in that, though, because I guess if, you know, this is for the black people, I probably whites are not allowed, I would guess. Let's see, community residents, spiritual people. Yeah, let's bring God into that. God's a purveyor of racism. Don't you know that? I don't know if any of you know that or not, but God is the biggest purveyor of racism, huh? So you think, huh? So they think, unbelievable. This is amazing stuff to me, and it's amazing in 2011 that, let's see, what about 45 years after the civil rights movement that we still have these people who are hustling race, and they do it so effectively, don't they? Let's see, revolutionaries and freedom fighters who have decided to take a stand together. Let's see, we are taking vigilantly to the streets, police stations, projects, courthouses, state capitals, houses of racists, morgues. I don't know what effect they're going to have protesting at a morgue. I mean, it's kind of the end of the line when you get that far, don't you think? Jails and anywhere our people can be found and the fight can be found for justice. We will rattle the enemy and those who are asleep to show and prove the world we are wide awake. Now, who is it that is the enemy as far as these people are concerned? I guess it's anybody who doesn't look like them. Apparently, right? I guess anybody who doesn't look like them, and they also are calling for a buy black only campaign and a boycott of all non-black businesses for this weekend. So there you go, kids. If any of you are planning on you have a business and it might be boycotted this weekend by any black people who are participating in this rally, this day of action movement. So there you go, sponsored by the Black Panthers, and they're an upstanding group of citizens, if I might say so myself. I certainly do think that is the case, and I imagine there's many people listening here that would probably agree with me, right? Don't you think that standing at a polling place like they did a couple of years ago with their Black Panther garb on and their clubs in their hands and intimidating voters, that they are a perfect example of upstanding, fine American citizens. Well, I don't know. That'll be exciting, though, this Saturday. Look for it. There's a whole list of all the cities that they plan to be active in protesting against. So you just never know. You just never know. You know, it's always an exciting thing here in America, isn't it, everybody? You just never know who's going to be complaining and griping and whining that they didn't get enough and they don't have enough. And the reason they don't have enough is never because of anything they've chosen to do. It's always because somebody else did it to them. Did you notice that pattern? I notice that pattern a lot. Listen, everybody, we're going to break. And when we come back, we will bring on another great guest. Hang in there.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at The Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, The Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, vice president for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie and you're listening to the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. And if you'd like to call into this show today, the number is 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524. You know, you can hear my show Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 9 a.m. Mountain Time on this station. Plus, I am on Sundays at noon Eastern Time on micro1650am.com. And I am always replayed on NetTalk World. You can hear me live on TalkStream Live. A lot of choices to get into the show. I always need advertisers and sponsors. If you want to advertise on this show or sponsor this radio show, please get in contact with me. My website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. theunsolicitedopinion.com. There's a contact button on my page. Check it out. Lots of great information. Podcast of this show, as well as links to all of my guests' websites, will be up probably by tonight. They'll be up on the website, hopefully, if we get everything together, which is always an unknown. So that's what makes life exciting, though, isn't it? Now, today I have another great guest, and my guest today is Doreen Hannis, and she is what she calls herself, the Truth Farmer. And Doreen Hannis is a very knowledgeable woman who knows a lot about what's going on with food in our country. And so welcome, Doreen. Thanks for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me on again, Maggie. It's always fun to talk with you.
Yeah, I like what you have to say. So, Doreen, let's start out a little bit with your background so people know about you, so they understand where you're coming from and where you gain all the knowledge that you have about all of these so-called food safety bills and all the different legislation that's out there to ultimately deny us the right to eat. But please go ahead.
Okay. Well, basically, I pretty much became aware of what was going on in this country and actually globally in the mid-90s. And then my husband and I moved here to South Central Missouri to basically try to be, like, left alone and allowed to farm and raise our children and worship Yahweh in the way that, you know, that we feel led to do. And this thing called the National Animal Identification System reared its ugly head, and I started digging into that, and it smelled like Agenda 21, and lo and behold, I found effectively a roadmap to really, in any aspect of our lives, trace it back to Agenda 21. And it's very, very important, Maggie. I can't stress enough that we can live without little pieces of green paper. We can live without public utilities. We cannot live without food. We cannot live without water. And we cannot live without shelter. And those very things, the most essential basics for life, are being threatened by the global GovCorp.
Yes,
okay? So the NAIS did a number of things. First of all, there was nothing I could do. We're literally in a fight for our lives and our livelihoods, and there's nothing more important than people's ability to be able to freely exchange and grow and prosper with agriculture. It's the basis of society. It's the only way that we can be civil to each other is if we have sufficient food to meet our needs, because it's the thing that separates us from barbarism. And what we've got going on, and I'm not certain how aware your listeners are of this, but we have, for the past 2 years, been having tremendous amounts of predictions regarding global food shortages. We have the USDA a couple of months ago saying that in the fall of this year, we will have food shortages in the United States. And to add to that equation, we have the effect of very likely hyperinflation coming on the scene very soon. So what we have is really, in a simple sense, we've got people in these positions in these agencies who have created the problem of getting people out of agriculture, because in the 50s we had 25% of our population very, very involved in agriculture at full-time level. Now
okay.
we have less than 2% of our population involved. And we have a tremendous amount of corporate control and consolidation of market in place and consolidation of access to market. So we are in a state in this country where we're in a matter of national security, because we can no longer actually feed ourselves, and we're importing about 70% of our produce at this point.
Well, you know, I think back, and I've mentioned this before on this show, Doreen, in this station that I'm on here out in Colorado, which reaches several adjoining states, one of the things that I had mentioned early on was I was talking about the San Joaquin Valley of California and that area the size of Rhode Island that grew 60% of the tomatoes consumed in this country, where they shut the water off. And if people can't connect the dots and realize that shutting off water to farmers means they can't grow anything, and that means you don't get to eat it. If they can't connect that, I just don't know. I don't know what the answer is, Doreen, because it seems to me that so many people have their heads in the sand, and they just don't get it where these things are concerned.
Well, they are going to get it very soon.
Oh,
and
yeah.
My mission really is to, I want people to get out there and develop relationships with farmers, and I want farmers to develop relationships with other farmers, Maggie, because there is not one of us that is an island. And what we have coming at us is catastrophic. And if we develop these relationships, if we know who has what and who can provide what and what we can exchange for XYZ, will be much more able to bear the problems that are coming to face us. And
well,
also, on another side of that coin, because of all of this consolidation and because of the global GovaCorp, we have a massive problem with genetically modified organisms in the food supply. And one thing that we can do to try to thwart the contamination of these organisms in our food supply, actually destroying our seed that was given to us by the Creator to continue, is to plant and garden like your life depends on it, and do that with heirloom seeds, because we've got soy, corn, cotton, canola. We have genetically modified animals convening on the scene now. We have tilapia, catfish, salmon, cattle, goats that are milking out drugs. We've got all sorts of issues going on in the food supply, and we are not told about it by the FDA, who so generously wants to protect us.
Explain what a genetically modified organism or an animal exactly means, because there's probably a lot of people who don't know what that means.
A genetically modified organism is an organism that has genes inserted in certain areas in the sequence of the DNA from a different species. That species can be a bacteria, it could be a fungus, it could be another animal itself, okay?
Okay.
For instance, we have recently cattle that they have genetically modified with human genes to provide human breast milk from a cow.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
Absolutely unbelievable.
And the thing is that we don't have any requirements in the United States to list whether or not, and this is in any product, that product is has genetically modified organisms in it.
So you have no idea whether what the eggs that you're eating or the milk that you're drinking or the pizza, the hot dog that you're eating, or the green beans, you don't have any idea what it is you're consuming, really.
Well, right, and this is something that's very striking, and people can go and they can check this out themselves real readily. Soy. Monsanto is the corporation that owns the most genetically modified soy, and they have 96% of the soy market sewn up with GMO. Now, if you go to the grocery store, look at tuna. It contains soy. Now they're putting soy in the tuna fish.
Well, what are they putting it in there for? What's the purpose of it? Is it supposed to be some expander or something like that that creates more mass to the instead
you
of
know,
the
I,
fish?
You know, honestly, I don't know, Maggie. I would guess that it is supposed to increase the protein level.
Okay.
Or somehow help to preserve the integrity of the tuna in some way, shape, or form. But if I can't buy tuna, tuna packed in water contains soy. Now, you're talking 96% of the market, Maggie, is genetically modified as far as soy goes. I do not believe that you can buy any kind of a soy product without it being genetically modified.
Well, where would you find the 4% even if you could? How would you even identify that?
There are some strains of soybeans that have been kept that are heirloom soy, but it's only 4%. So it's very difficult to find. I mean, my advice would be to avoid soy as much as you possibly can, but it's in virtually everything that you purchase from the grocery store now. Now, the issue there is that this genetically modified food has been allowed into our food supply without proper testing. FDA scientists have actually quit their jobs because they were not doing science on this. They were just passing the buck and saying it's fine. So in 1994, GMO corn was allowed into the human food supply. GMO soy followed shortly after that. And now, in the end of February, despite the warnings from a USDA scientist about a new pathogen that appears to be linked to Roundup Ready, the Agriculture Secretary, Tom Vilsack, approved genetically modified alfalfa, genetically modified sugar beets, and another company, those two were Monsanto's, and another company's genetically modified corn for ethanol production. And this scientist found that up to 40% of cattle fed genetically modified grains die.
Wow.
Die.
Wow.
There's a 40% mortality rate.
Yeah. So,
and it's safe for you to eat.
yeah. So if you think about that, if they take out 40%, just let's talk about the animals. If they took out 40% of the animals who are fed this, 40% out of our supply, and that would mean how many people would starve in this country right off the bat? How long would it take to starve to death? You can live, what, maybe 30, 45 days, depending upon, you know, how much adipose tissue, how much fat you have, but you can only live about 3 days without any water. So how long would it take to starve off half the population in this country if we cut the food supply in half with these animals that are dying?
Well, it's a huge issue because we cannot control the genetically modified pollen from contaminating other plants of the same species. That's a very large issue. Now, with the animals, they've approved all these GMO fish. Well, they get out. You know, a bird can pick up a fish from a pond and drop it in another one, and then the genes are passed on. So it's a very dangerous thing to be playing with. When you're playing with the actual DNA of animals and you have these changes in the offspring, the chromosomes and the DNA changes in the offspring of animals that are fed genetically modified food, predominantly genetically modified food. And so you're passing on these detrimental traits. And they're not positive. I mean, the lifespans of the actually genetically modified animals are less than a normal God-designed animal. They have a higher mortality rate. For instance, with these cattle that produce the human breast milk.
Okay.
They had 45 of them, and 26 of them died.
Wow.
before they were 6 months of age. Now, that's a very serious problem, and most of the issues that these cattle had were digestive problems. And yet, the whole point of them doing this, you know, human-cow hybrid was to create a milk that was more easily digestible.
Doreen, hang on. Yes. We'll come right back. We're going to break, everybody. You're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and my name is Maggie, and we will be right back.
Whether you already know essential oils are valued for their ancient wisdom and wellness, or you're considering their use as a viable, non-toxic, healthy alternative, your question should be the same. Are all essential oils certified pure therapeutic grade? Who makes the highest quality essential oils available? Do all test for safety and meet rigorous standards? Can all oils pass the scrutiny of health professionals and scientists? Many essential oils don't meet these standards, so ask one more question. Where can I find the most powerful, reasonably priced, certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils? doTERRA. Gift of the Earth. doTERRA, committed to natural, empowering ideals. If you're new to essential oils or a seasoned expert, you'll recognize the superior quality of doTERRA certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils with your first experience. Call 970-493-6789. That's 970-493-6789 or RockyMountainEssentialOil.com. That's RockyMountainEssentialOil.com.
Eleven years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And if you want to join this conversation, the number is 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, my website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Now, I am speaking with Doreen Hannes, and I want to give you a little background because I know she won't toot her own horn, but I'm going to for her. She has been an avid student of the effects of the World Trade Organization free trade agreements on the livelihoods of citizens of the U.S. since the establishment of the World Trade Organization and ratification of NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, for those of you who aren't sure what NAFTA is, in 94-95. Her predominant area of interest has been the impact on independent agriculture and the ramifications of these agreements upon food freedom and consolidation of access to markets for independent growers. She has served on the RCAF USA Animal ID Committee for several years and was appointed the position of Director of Research for the National Independent Consumer and Farmers Association. So, and your website, truth-farmer.blogspot.com, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, good. I wanted to bring out your background a little, Doreen, so that people know who it is exactly and the qualification you have to be speaking about what it is you're speaking about. You certainly know a lot about from whence you speak, that's for sure. When we went to break, you were talking about the human-cow hybrid. So let's go back to that because I don't think you completed your thought on that, Doreen.
Well, the thing is not only are these animals dying at extreme rates, you have to wonder, if those animals are dying, then what happens to you as you consume the product of those that lived? It is very indicative of a major, major problem. If you have over 40% mortality in livestock, you are not providing a healthy product.
No.
Okay? It is not healthy for you. When we're messing around on a genetic level with our food, and it is okayed by the powers that be to do so because of one thing, money and control of our wealth. Not control of our money, but control of our wealth, which is our capacity to actually use what we have. Okay? That, in a nutshell, Maggie, the way that I see it is wealth is what you can use regardless of the economy. It is something that has inherent value, whereas little green pieces of paper are simply an exchange medium. And,
well, you know,
and what it's important. I mean, yes, it is important. And I struggle enough trying to get enough little green pieces of paper into a pile to pay the bills, you know.
Sure.
And I understand that. I'm not trying to belittle that. But when it comes right down to it, that is only an exchange mechanism. And what it is that we actually need is our wealth and our capacity to use our wealth. And that is being constrained by policy and by these public-private partnerships that are now cropping up everywhere, even on the local level. We've got bureaucracies that are shrouded under other bureaucracies that are controlling what we do. And it's most important in food and in our ability to use our water, in my opinion.
Well, I agree with you, because you can't live without either one of those. So
you know,
it is the most important thing.
Right. You know, so it is, there's this massive scheme in play to divest us of our God-given rights to use the wealth that He created. And in food, it's very, very evident, and there's such a small amount of the population that's involved in an active sense in agriculture, and yet everyone is dependent upon agriculture. So we have to, I think we have some things that we can do, and one of those things is to begin to take responsibility as much as you're capable of taking for providing for yourself and your family. And just doing a little bit is much better than doing nothing at all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you can sit back on the couch for as long as you want, but when you don't have any food in your refrigerator, sitting on the couch for long, it's not going to last very long once you start to go hungry.
Right.
It changes the whole game.
Exactly. You know, so, I mean, I'm with the way that everything is adding up and with the issue of global food shortages coming and the inflationary aspects to our financial system, I just cannot stress enough, Maggie, I'm so pro-life, you know. I want people to live. And if you're going to live, you have to have food.
Exactly.
So,
well,
you know, it's just one of those things that I think now people must concern themselves with being able to provide for themselves and storing up what they can. Now, I understand that we can't, you know, we can't all, like, have canned goods stacked within 1 foot of our beds and, you know, things like that. But do something, please. Everybody do something. because it's not looking good. And I mean, even the, you know, one of the pushes for genetically modified crops is that they're going to be so prolific and increase our capacity to produce by such a vast amount, all of this, so looking to Monsanto to feed the world. But the facts on the genetically modified crops are that you have to use these particular herbicides along with them, and then their yield is less, and you can't save the seed and replant that seed, so the cost is more. So you end up with a diminished amount of product that's actually toxic, and you end up ruining your land by creating super weeds that don't die. So it's, you know, it's just, in a black humor sense, it's kind of funny.
Well, you've got to laugh, otherwise I swear if you didn't laugh, I think you'd smoke a 45 or something, honestly, during when you begin to know about all these different things and the assaults on our freedom and liberty and their deliberate attempt and their deliberate plan to deny us the ability to feed ourselves and take the water away from us. I mean, that's very clear. And these aren't conspiracy theories. I'd rather be a nut job that just got let out from the state hospital. I would rather be nuts, Doreen, than know what I know. I truly would. It would be a much simpler thing. Ignorance is bliss. It is, and that's so true. But unfortunately, I'm not nuts.
No, and you know, see, I'd rather know the truth and provide for it. Because then you're not surprised. Now, one of the issues is that we have a normalcy bias in place. You know, everybody wants to keep things normal. For instance, in a calamity, they strive desperately to just keep a normal routine. And that's what we're doing right now on the financial scene. We are in a meltdown financially. But the difference between now and 1930s, when we had the Depression, is that now we have credit cards. So we pay those things forward, and we put off the effects of our financial issues.
Hang on, Doreen. We're going to break. This is the Unsolicited Opinion, everybody, and we will be right back.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Shalom, this is Pastor Michael Golden of the Voice of Many Waters Congregation, personally inviting you to join me as we continue our series on exploring your God-given spiritual gifts and utilizing them biblically to build Yahweh's kingdom. We'll be meeting at 3J's Christian Coffee House in Johnstown, Saturdays beginning at 1 p.m. We'll look through the lens of Torah and address questions like, how do I know what my gifts really are? What's my purpose in using the spiritual gifts? Can my spiritual gifts be blocked for some reason? I've used my spiritual gifts for years. What does Torah have to do with them? How do I know the difference between truth or error, or the office and the gift, and much more? This series includes an extensive personal spiritual gift profile and how to understand who God has called you to be through your gifts in a safe, orderly, and biblically based environment. The exciting series will continue over the next few weeks, so please join us. Contact the Voice of Many Waters congregation at 1-800-205-6245 or 303-522-3562. A love offering will be collected.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie, and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And if you want to get in contact with me, my website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. And if you want to call into the show today, 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524. And I wanted to mention, Doreen, and I don't know if you can hear it, but I broadcast out of my house, and so it's not some soundproof studio I'm in, and so there's dogs barking, and the neighbor is cutting the grass. So I actually have no idea what kind of sound is coming out from this radio show today. It should be rather interesting if all that racket going on around me is actually being broadcast. But, hey, it just is what it is. Let's go back. You left off before we went to break. You were talking about the difference between now and what it was like for people when the economy collapsed in the 1930s and the Great Depression set in.
Well, we had a tremendous amount of people actually involved in agriculture in the 1930s. And what happened, I mean, my mother was on a farm, and she was just a itty-bitty child at that time. But the relatives from the city sent their children out to farms because then at least they would be fed. Now, we don't have that, only having about 2% of the population actively involved in agriculture any longer. We do not have those small, diversified, independent family farms in great numbers any longer. Now, there are parts of the country that have more of them, kind of hobby farm style things now, but not enough to send the relatives from the city there to be able to be fed any longer, Maggie. And also, on the financial side of the spectrum, in the 1930s, people paid cash for things. You might run a line of credit at the grocery or the hardware store, that kind of thing, but you didn't depend upon plastic.
Well, you know what, Doreen, when I was a kid, and if we wanted something, we put stuff on layaway, and then when you paid it off, then you got it out of layaway. You didn't charge it. If you wanted a new dress or something, and you didn't have the money for it, well, you just had to wait until you had the money for it, and you could pay a little bit every week. So, I mean, there is no such thing as layaway anymore. There are no such things as Christmas clubs where people save up their money so they can buy Christmas gifts. All of that stuff, none of it exists. It's all gone. Now it's, hey, I want instant oatmeal, I want instant happiness, I want instant everything in the world we live in today.
Right, no, yelling at the microwave because it's just not going fast enough, right? You know, but the thing is that we're putting all of that on a pay it forward issue. We're thinking we'll pay that off later, we'll pay it off later, we'll pay it off later. But when a financial collapse happens, and we have evidence of these things, Yugoslavia was probably the worst in our recent history. Argentina, they had looting and rioting within a week. When you have services cut off to people, and when people are looking at hungry children, they become very, very unfriendly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's fact. That is the reality of life. Starvation is a great motivator.
I wish I could listen to your show quite regularly so I had a better idea. I'm not certain how much you've covered on the financial side of things lately.
No, I really haven't had anybody on talking about that, so please go right ahead, Doreen. Say whatever you'd like. This is a free speech radio show.
All right, then. We'll take some free speech.
Okay.
It's just coming to the point where the United States and its bloated budget and its give-me-welfare state is going to implode. China has stopped buying our bonds. Standard & Poor downgraded our credit rating, and this is as a nation. Japan was a tremendous holder of our treasury notes, and now with all of the calamities that they've had, they're going to have to sell.
Right.
This is going to affect the value of our dollar. They are saying that inflation is running about 1.5 to 3%. But if you go to the grocery store, you understand that it's actually running about 25 to 50%.
Yeah.
If you go to the grocery store like every 2 weeks, you see massive increases in normal everyday staple food supplies.
Exactly.
And that's where it really hits the average bear. It's, you know, the average person in this country isn't really worrying about their stock portfolio. They're just trying to pay their bills and keep gas in the gas tank and all of these things. Well, our dollar is being devalued, and it's hit under 74. So it's down about 50 points from its high in 2003. Now, what that means is that your dollar is worth less. And as it continues to slide downhill, you have to have more little green pieces of paper to get your everyday goods. The cost of fuel is skyrocketing. Even though we actually import most of our oil from Canada, the issue with Libya and all of this has caused gas prices to skyrocket. That benefits a few people who are trading on it, but it hurts the majority of us, and it increases the cost of our food. And going back to food again, most of our food is moving via truck. The average, like, processed food products, say cereal in the store, travels 1,200 miles before you get it.
Well, it doesn't matter. No matter what it is, it's going to come from not everything. I should take that back. But the majority of everything we get comes via truck into the grocery stores. I mean, when you see that big semi reefer backed up, unloading into the grocery store, your food is being delivered to you via truck. It's not being dropped in for the majority of it from the local farmer. That's just not happening.
Right. And, you know, so we do have a resurgence, and I think that this is a very positive reaction to an actual problem. We've got a lot of farmers markets that have cropped up, a lot of, you know, CSAs, which are community-supported agriculture, where people pay farmers to grow food and then they share in the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
We have a number of those things, and they're very positive reactions to an actual problem. But then the USDA and the FDA, the agencies who've created the problem to start with, are now co-opting that reaction through various programs. One of the USDA has is called Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food. And then they take over and they pay the farmers markets to require certain things of the people selling at the farmers market. So they take grant money from the USDA.
We've got to go to break. Hang on. We're going to be right back. This is the Unsolicited Opinion. And we're listening to Maggie. Take care. We'll be right back. Hang on.
We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb. Tom, what makes The Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facilities. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality products available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie, and you're listening to the Unsolicited Opinion radio show, and we've only got a couple minutes left. If you want to get in touch with me, my website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, and my guest, Doreen Hannis, her website is truth-farmer.blogspot.com, and podcast of this radio show, as well as a link to Doreen's website, will be up on my website. The link to her website will be up shortly, but the podcast won't be up till tonight. Doreen, we've only got a couple minutes left, and there's a couple of things. You had mentioned the government's program, Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food, and then I wanted to make a comment about that CSA you had mentioned as well. But finish explaining this Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food.
Okay. One thing that people have got to understand is that when you take money from the federal government for anything, you're taking it for all of their initiatives and all of their programs, and the federal government is sworn to implement Agenda 21. As I'm talking about the agencies here, and they all work together. Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food is USDA's attempt to ensnare people who are striving to provide others with actually good product through local farmers markets. They have an initiative to implement local Agenda 21. Of course, Agenda 21, in a nutshell, is control of all human impact on the environment. Now, Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food is going to work hand-in-hand with the FDA on the Food Safety Modernization Act, which will require that everybody be subjected to, quote-unquote, good agricultural practices, which are like basically like doing your taxes every day over selling tomatoes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have to report where they were grown, when they were grown, how they were grown, and when harvested, where sold, how many, what your yield is, all processes, including fertilization and when you're planting.
Yeah, so in other words, what they're trying to do is make it so difficult for you to actually grow the tomato that you're not going to do it.
Well, to actually grow and sell the tomato, that's the thing. You can, at this juncture, you can grow them for yourselves without much trouble, but the issue is, with the seed suppliers, the seed, like your heirloom seed providers, are going to have to require that their providers of seed follow good agricultural practices, and it's going to constrain those who participate in this burgeoning market. Because I'll tell you what, I'm not doing it, and you can't do it. You cannot follow all the good agricultural practices and stay in business, Maggie.
Well, the bottom line, Doreen, and there's a lot of people on this show, because I follow Dr. Stanley Monteith, and he's been hammering Agenda 21 for a very long time. A lot of people who are listening to this show understand what Agenda 21 is, but when you really think about this whole maze of requirements that they've created, this labyrinth that you have to navigate through, it is made so difficult intentionally, because if their end game, and their end game is to decrease the world's population by 85%, they're going to do it by hook or crook, and they're going to create this monstrosity of regulations and hoops that you need to dance through to be able to grow a tomato. They know what the outcome's going to be, that it'll put so many people out of business from even contemplating it or attempting it, is they're not going to be able to do it. And they know this.
Right. Sustainable development is not sustainable. You know?
Yeah.
And the thing is that, Maggie, I have to beat on this because I believe it all the way down to my toenails. It all comes down to the consent of the governed.
Yes, it does. Doreen, I got to let you go. Thanks so much for coming on, Doreen.
Thank you.
Truth Hannis, Doreen Hannis, Truth Farmer. Listen, everybody, better days are coming. Doreen is fighting for us, and I will be back next week. Hang in there, everybody. Keep your chin up.
Really? You know what Miss Gus said she was going to do to Toto? She says she
now,
was going to...
Now, Dorothy, dear, stop imagining things. You always get yourself into a fret over nothing. Huh? Now, you just help us out today and find yourself a place where you won't get into any trouble.
Some place where there isn't any trouble. Do you suppose there is such a place, Toto? There must be. It's not a place you can get to by a boat or a train. It's far, far away, behind the moon, beyond the rain,
upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind. Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops, that's where you